Well, Happy New Year, New Life Christian Ministries. Miss Trina is not here today. She's feeling under the weather. It's not that she didn't want to hear me preach today, but we do. We have a lovely couple in from Florida, and I'm like, why are you up here when it's so cold and you could be in Florida, the Hodges? All right. Praise God. All right, we want to talk to you a little bit about the new year, bringing in from 2017 to 2018. If you'll stand for the reading of God's word, it's in Joshua chapter 3:4. We've never been this way before. I actually preached a message with this title some time ago, but just a little different twist. So we want to just, I want to encourage you some words coming into the new year. Joshua chapter 3, verse 4. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you and we glorify your holy name. Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts and minds to receive from you this day. Father, for you truly are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the mighty Jehovah, the everlasting Prince of Peace. Father, where else can we go but to you? For you are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we pray for great signs, wonders, and miracles following the preaching of your word today. Father, touch the people today. Encourage them, Lord. And Father, one last thing, Lord. As always, Father, let me preach in the power of your spirit today, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Is it cold enough for you? I assume that's a yes. We've never been this way before. Joshua 3:4, then you will know which way to go since you've never been this way before. We're about to step into a new year. We've never been this way before, and we don't know exactly what lies ahead in 2018. We have our plans, but we really need to know what God has planned for us, or at least the direction he wants to send us. So today we want to look at some examples in the Bible of the leading of the Holy Spirit. But first, this is a couple of points I want to make to you first that I feel like God wants to say to you. This one's near dear to my heart. What I want to ask you in 2018 is, what's your Bible reading plan? All right. Some of you got it. But really, we need to be intentional about what are we going to read the Bible this year. You know, there's a lot of reading plans out there that will guide you through the whole Bible in 1 year. You need to read about 4 or 5 chapters a day. You say, oh, it's really not that much. But we need to be intentional about reading the Word of God, reading it every day. Not only reading it, studying it, memorizing it, get it down into us. Some of us have to listen to it on tapes or on, that's how old I am, talking about tapes. How about DVDs and iPods, yeah. Yeah. I rode a horse to church today. That's how far I am behind. But anyhow, whatever it takes to get that word down inside of you, you need to be intentional about it this year. And the second thing is, God is looking for worshipers in 2018. He's looking for people who will come and worship him. People who will love him, people who will seek him out, people who will get into his word and get on their face before him in prayer, and they'll just be worshipers of him. Just think about if you were in a huge forest and you were the only one there. You're saying, God, I need some directions. I need to hear your voice. Would you worship him by yourself in the middle of the forest? Now, we have a great praise team here. But really, if you look on the schedule, they're only singing for about a half hour one day a week. That's not going to cut it. We really want to know God. We really want to enter into God's presence. And we really want to be led by God. We need to have worship time on our own. And so I'm asking you, and God's asking, if you were in a forest all by yourself and nobody around for miles and miles, would you worship Him there? You thank God. You know, I'm lost and I don't know how to get out, but I still love You, God. That's really what God wants us to do this year. He wants us to seek His face for direction in which way that we need to go, because we've never been this way before. Unless you're a part of the movie The Groundhog Day, where every day is the same and the same and the same, which it's not. Every day's new. Everything's different. And we really need God's direction. All right, point number one. We're ready to cross over. If we get back to Joshua chapter 3, in that chapter, the Israelites are ready to cross over the Jordan River, which was at flood stage, into the Promised Land. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord step into the Jordan River, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Now, they've been going around in the desert. They've already left Egypt and headed to the Promised Land. Because of their disobedience, they weren't allowed to enter in. So 40 years around and around through the desert and around the mountain. And now it's finally time for them to enter the Promised Land. But it's at flood stage. Now, if we go down to the river where we baptize people, there's the boat ramp there. You'll see these red marks and you'll see these yellow marks on that boat ramp. And they're caution marks on there. When it's in the yellow, it's kind of, you need to be cautious about what you're doing in the river. When it gets up on the red, don't be on the river. It's flowing at flood stage and it's too dangerous even on a boat. I've been on a boat when it's been in the red and shouldn't have been out there. It was dangerous. So you think about 40 years they've been wandering around in the desert, and now God brings them to cross into the Promised Land. Why does He do it when it's flood stage? You know, we'd be in the group, and I'm sure there were people in the group there. So, you know, Joshua's in charge now. I said, you know, why, Joshua, why are you taking us out here when it's flood stage? Why can't we just wait a little, 40 years, a couple more months to when the river gets down? You know, there are places in the Potomac River, if you zigzag or cross, you can walk across the river when it's down a normal height. But there's probably people grumbling in the group, say, why did you bring us here when it's flood stage? Why can't we just wait? That's not how our God operates, is it? See, nothing's impossible with God, and He wanted to show them His mighty hand and His power that day when the priest would step into the river, that God would put like this invisible force field there and just block the river off, and it would just start backing up. It would have been an awesome sight to see, wouldn't it? An awesome sight. You know, they said that they crossed over on dry ground. Why did He wait until it was flood stage? Because He wanted to show His outstretched hand and His mighty power. I was thinking about that this week, and it's probably been about 20 years ago that I had a vision when God had called me to preach, that I was standing at a river, something like the Potomac River, and it was at flood stage. But I knew across that river was my Promised Land, what God had promised me. And I'm thinking, God, how can I get over there? It's flooded. I couldn't even, if I got a big boat, I couldn't even cross that river at that time. And I was telling a former pastor that. I said, you know, I'm crying out to God. I said, God, there's my Promised Land, but I don't know how to get there. It's strange that brings that back up this week, because many of them thought, you know, how are we going to get across that river into our Promised Land? And I believe God has a Promised Land for each and every one of us. He has a calling for each and every one of us. He has a place in His kingdom for each and every one of us. And sometimes we think, well, I know what it is, but how do I get there? Well, the one way to get there and the only way to get there is to be led by the Spirit of God. God knows the way. We've never been this way before, but God has. God knows it. He's the one that has laid it all out. You see, it's not by your might and it's not by your power, but it's by my Spirit, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. So we need to get clued in on what the Spirit of God is saying to each and every one of us, not only as a body at New Life Christian Ministries, but what's God saying to you? What's God calling you to do this year? What's God speaking to you? As we're getting ready to move out, we only have a little over 12 hours left in this year. What is God saying to me as a Christian this year? What do you want me to do this year, God? Might be asking to step out of your little box, your little comfort zone. Oh, they're not shouting about that, are they? But I promise you, your promised land is the place to be. That's where your abundant life will be. That's where your peace, joy, and happiness will be. If you find that place that God has called you to do, to be and to do, and then step into it. Again, it's not by your might and it's not by your power, but it's by my Spirit, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. The ark represents the Holy Spirit, and we need to be led by the Spirit of God. When God tells us to move, we need to move, and if he tells us to stay still, we need to stay still. The priests who carried the ark stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by on dry ground. But remember this, 2.5 tribes did not go into the promised land. They settled for good and not God's best. There's 2.5 tribes that God, they got good land on this side of the Jordan, but that's not what God promised them. He promised them inside of Israel, across the Jordan, he promised them the promised land, but they settled for good and not best. See, God may have called you to something. God may have put something in your heart and you get so close to it. They were right there. All they had to do is cross the Jordan and they would have been into the promised land. Now, their fighting men had to go in and help subdue the land before they could come back home. But they settled for something that wasn't God's best. It was good, but we're children of God and we want God's best. Just a thought for you to think about this year. If we want to see more miracles, we need ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us and to be obedient to His voice and the Word of God. So how do we know what the Word of God is? Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. You know, the day that I'm dead and gone, if I could just get people to read their Bibles, I've accomplished a lot in the kingdom of God. I really have. I hope that rings in your ears all year long. God just wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Oh, I made it, that Pastor Henry. You know, when the Israelites were led out of Egypt, there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that was a representation of the Holy Spirit. When God moved those pillars, they followed. When those pillars stopped, they stopped. That's really what God's trying to tell us. Just be led by my Spirit. Just do what I tell you to do. You know, God, what are you saying to me today? What are you saying to me for 2018? You only got a few hours left to take care of what you needed to take care of for 2017, but let's look forward to what God has for us in 2018. And we need to hear the voice of God. And again, 99% of the time, you're going to hear the voice of God in this written word. You're going to hear God's voice in this word. There's where he's going to speak. If you want to hear God's voice, you need to read this Bible. Study this Bible. Get it down into your heart.
Point number two, escape to Egypt, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord has said through the prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. Many times, especially when you come to the altar, if I pray for you, a lot of times I pray for you to have visions and dreams. We need to ask God for visions and dreams. That's one way that God speaks to us. That's one way that God gives us directions. Here Joseph was with little Jesus. Herod was seeking him out to kill him. And God gives him a dream where an angel was speaking to him and telling him to take Jesus and Mary back to Egypt. That'd be the last place I would take somebody. Because we have a history with Egypt that we are in captivity. But God always knows what he's doing. God may lead us through visions and dreams. He may lead us out of trouble. It may not always make sense. Seek God. You know, we have a vision or a dream or God speaks something to us and we don't understand it. We need to seek God for the interpretation. That's normal. Clear back in Numbers chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron were opposing Moses. And God calls them outside the tent of the meeting and says he's going to have a meeting with them. And he asks Miriam and Aaron, said, what are you doing? Why are you opposing Moses? I speak to Moses face to face. Most of the time that he spoke to prophets, he said, I speak to him in riddles and dreams and visions, but I speak to Moses face to face. So that tells us that even prophets, that God will speak to them in riddles and things they can't quite understand. So why does he do that? He wants you to draw a little bit closer. He wants you to seek his face. He wants you to inquire about him and about what he's saying to you. You know, it was God's pattern to speak to Joseph in dreams. In Matthew chapter 1, God spoke to Joseph to take Mary home as his wife after Herod died. God gave him a dream to return to Israel. But here's the bottom line to all this. We must be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We all want to hear it. Everybody want to hear the voice of God. You want God to speak to you, but what good does it do you if you don't listen to him? What if he wouldn't have took Jesus to Egypt? Here's a little story. It was a Friday after Thanksgiving, and my wife, she's a camera bug, and her brother's a professional photographer, and he gave her an older camera, but it had this big lens on it, and it was a nice camera for her. She's sitting at the kitchen table trying to figure this thing out. She didn't have the directions to it, and I heard her say, Henry, come here. And I'm thinking, oh, well, we got a bird feeder there. She wants me to see some exotic bird that has flown in. See, I can say this because she's not here. I said, all right, dear, I'm coming. And I'd come around the corner, and I look out my back window, and we live in a development, and there stood the biggest 10-point buck that I've ever seen in my life. Had a humongous rack on it, standing beside our bird feeder. So the thing finally just trotted off. She never did get a picture of it. But she mentioned that to some people here in church, and one lady in particular, and this lady said, no, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. And she came back later because I guess she prayed about it or God revealed to it. God is saying to you through that 10-point buck, you need to expect the unexpected. And in 2018, as we follow after God and we give our hearts to God and we get into the Word of God and we start talking to God, and we start expecting visions and dreams, and we start expecting to hear the Word of God. We start expecting to hear the voice of God. Expect the unexpected. It's just how God operates. He's the God of the unexpected. He can turn your situation around in a second. He can mend up your broken heart. He can heal you. He can do whatever He wants to do. He can turn your situation around just like that. And we need to expect the unexpected in the Lord God Almighty. That's how God rolls. How about Peter when he was in the boat? The storm was raging, and here comes Jesus walking by in the middle of the night on the water. Number one, that's unexpected. You just don't see that every day. Now, I tell people I've walked on water a few times, but it was frozen, but not the liquid kind. That's the truth. The truth will set you free. But Peter said to Jesus, let me come to you. And Jesus says, come on, Peter, come on out. And see, Peter was brave enough and trusting enough in God that he was willing to step out of the boat. God's going to ask some of you to step out of your boat this year. All he's asking you to do is take the step. Peter got to walk on water. I don't see any place else in the Bible that anybody's ever walked on water except for Jesus and Peter. Peter was a man just like us. And he was willing to step out of the boat because he heard the voice of God telling him to do that. Wasn't comfortable. He got afraid and he failed. God's going to ask you to do some stuff that you might be afraid about because you've never been this way before. But all he's asking you to do is just take that step. All he's asking you to do is listen to the voice of God and be obedient. Point number three. Before we even get to that, there's probably some folks in here that you've never accepted Jesus Christ before in your life. Seems kind of scary. You've just never taken that step to cross over from death to life. Some of you may be in a backslidden condition, that you've been far away from God. And wouldn't it be nice to go into 2018 with your heart right with God? Before we leave here today, we're going to give you that opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, to make things right with God. And all he's asking you to do is just take that step. Just take that step, and he'll take care of the rest. Point number three, the desert. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Before Jesus ever started his ministry, the Holy Spirit led him into the desert. He needed some alone time with God the Father. And if Jesus needed some alone time with God the Father, don't you think we need alone time with God the Father every day? We have to be intentional about that. It's not just going to happen. You know why? Because we'll get too busy. We got to go here, we got to go there, we got to do this, we got to do that, we have jobs, we got overtime, we even got to go to church. Yeah, church is not alone time with God. You need alone time where you get your Bible out and you read it and you get your down on your knees or however you want to pray to God. Every day you need to be intentional about taking time with God. And they're not shouting about this, Steve, are they? But I'm telling you what, if you'll do what I'm telling you today, you're going to hear the voice of God in 2018. I guarantee you that. God's going to do some unexpected things in your life that you never dreamed possible. But you just have to have your time with God to have that, build that. It's all about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll take care of that, everything else will be taken care of. Before Jesus started his earthly ministry, the Holy Spirit led him into the desert and had him fast for 40 days. When the devil came to tempt him, he relied on the Word of God. What did Jesus say? It was written. Written in what? Written in the Bible. And Pastor, if I could just get them to read the Bible this year, it would transform this church. It would transform your life. We could transform this county. We could transform this state. We could transform the world. Seriously, it's like only 10% of people call themselves Christians regularly read their Bible. We're missing it. We got to get the Word of God down inside of us. God may lead you to and through some hard places, but he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. We tend to grow the most when we go through the fire and the flood. Anybody been through the fire and the flood this year? Well, we got some holy people in here, Pastor. And even if you don't do anything wrong, even if you do the right thing, the fire and the flood's coming because of other people, because of the sin of this world. But if we're read up and prayed up and have a good attitude, when the fire and the flood comes, we know to stand on the Word of God. We can stand in the face of the devil and say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. We will hear God's voice most through the Word of God. God can also teach us through our failures. Anybody had any failures this year? Well, a lot of you need to repent, I'm telling you that. Here's the thing of it is, we need to be dependent on God on everything that we do and everything that we have. Whatever we're going through, we need to depend on God. God, I need your help. So many times we try to do it ourselves. And ourselves ain't good enough. We need Jesus to help us. We need God to help us. We need the voice of God to lead and guide us. There's no shortcuts through all this stuff. There are no shortcuts. We have to read our Word. We have to pray. We have to have this relationship with Jesus Christ if we're going to make it. How many of us know that people that have fallen away from God, they once served God and now they don't? And I guarantee you 100% of them stop reading their Bibles or never read their Bibles to start with, and they stop praying, they stop seeking after God. We can protect ourselves from that. John chapter 3, verse 30. John the Baptist. Jesus has showed up on the scene now, and he's starting to take control and grow. John's saying, he must increase, and I must decrease. Say that again. He must increase, and I must decrease. We could also say it this way. His will must increase in my life, and my will must decrease. I'm going to say that one again. My will must decrease and God's will must increase in my life. God, what is your will for my life? 99.9% of that's in this Word. So if we want to know what the will of God is for our lives, got to read our Bibles, read our Bibles, read our Bibles. Pastor, they're not shouting about this today, are they? But it's the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He died so that he could have a relationship with you and I. God has already done his part. He's waiting on us to do our part. He's waiting on us to come to him. He says, I stand at the door and knock. He's really talking to Christians there. Even though he knocks on the door of the saints, or those whose hearts are not right with God, but he's really knocking on the door and saying, why don't you come in and talk to me? Why don't you come in and have fellowship with me? Why won't you come in and sit at the table with me? Somebody in the Bible asked Jesus, said, what kind of work we need to do to get into the kingdom of God? Jesus simply said, you just need to believe that I'm the Savior of the world. That's what he said. You just need to believe. And so if we're going to say we believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, we need to have fellowship with him. Why not in 2018 say, hey, this is the year that I'm going to draw closer to God. This is a year that I'm going to depend on Jesus. This is a year that I'm going to ask to hear the voice of God in his direction so I can get it right, that I don't have to backtrack and have him fix the mistakes that I've made. But if I listen to the voice of God, he's the pillar of fire at night and the pillar of cloud by day. When he says move, I'll move. And when he says stop, I'll stop. And when he tells me to go to the left, I'll go to the left or the right or whatever it may be, but I'll hear the voice of God, and God is always right, and God is perfect, and God can show me which way to go that I may have an abundant life with him this year. Somebody give God a praise in the house. That's how much he loves you, that he wants to do right by you and lead you by still waters, protect you from the evilness of this world. He'll give you that peace in your heart that when you go to sleep at night, if I don't wake up, I'm going to be with Jesus. You can have that peace. You can rest in that peace. All right, praise team, come on. Here's my conclusion. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me say that one again. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The letter sent to all seven churches in the book of Revelation, which in chapter 2 and 3, have the same statement in all of them. Every one of them says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He's talking to the Christians there. If you're a born-again Christian, you have an ear for the Spirit of God, and he's saying this. How important it is to hear the Spirit and what God is saying to us. And I have four things that God has told me to ask you this year. The first thing that we need to do is say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We got to pursue God to hear the voice of God. God wants to talk to every one of us. He wants to give every one of us direction. So why not ask him? It's like little Samuel. He kept hearing the voice of God, and Samuel finally said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, Moses had an experience with God on the mountain with the burning bush. That's kind of outside the box, isn't it? Now, if you're really hard-headed and hard of hearing, he may have to send a donkey to talk to you. But at least you're listening. At least you're hearing the voice of God. It's probably not the best sign in the world, but you're hearing the voice of God. Thank God when you do hear the voice of God. That's because God loves you and he wants to talk to you. Number two, study to show yourself approved. We went over that quite extensively today, haven't we? But we could say, hey, well, I'm busy. I'm really busy. It's hard to fit in. You know, it only takes about 5 minutes to read a chapter of the Bible. You could do it faster than that if you want to. So how much, this might hurt a little bit, but how much TV do you watch? Man, what if we turned the TV off for a half hour a day, and we read our Bibles and prayed for that half hour? You know, the walls might fall in this place. Just a thought. Number three, be ready in season and out of season with an answer for anyone who asks. If we get serious about God, God's going to send people to ask you questions. So we need to read our Bibles, so that when they come and ask, we can give them an answer. And really, all you need to do is tell them that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he died for your sins, and if you'll accept him, you can be in the kingdom of God, and tell them your testimony. This is what God's done for me. Believe me, he's going to send people your way if you get serious about him, but that's okay. Now, here's the most important one, number four. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is the most important one.
It's the most important one.
Send me, Lord, I'll go. God, I'm available to you, and I'm going to be obedient to you, and I'm going to be obedient to your word. And if you speak something to me, and if I read something in the Bible, I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to be obedient to you in 2018. Everything that I know how, I'm going to be obedient to you and to your word. I'm available, God. Here I am. Send me. I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. If you want me to go a whole way around the world to speak to somebody, I'll do it. Father, whatever it is, if you need me to chop wood, dig ditches, work at Tractor Supply, warehouse, whatever it takes, I'm going to be obedient to you this year, Lord. Send me, I'll go. Now here we're closing now. But to have ears to hear, you must be born again. And to be born again, you must repent of your sins and ask Jesus into your heart. For those here that your heart, you know your heart's not right with God this morning. God's asking you, you have to repent of your sins. And to be repent is to say, God, I'm sorry, and turn away from those sins. See, when we do that, we ask Christ into our hearts, he'll give us the power to walk away from all that stuff. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you, say, preacher, I'd like to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'd like to go into 2018 with Jesus Christ into my heart. Or maybe it's been a long time and you're just not sure. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you for a show of hands, and then we're going to say a prayer all together. I promise I won't embarrass you. Anybody here who would like to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, just raise your hand quickly. I'm not going to wait too long. I see 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody else? All right, saints, you're going to help me out here. We're going to bow our heads, and we're going to say this prayer together. And if you really mean this in your heart, whether you raised your hand or not, God will accept you into his kingdom today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I ask you into my heart now to be my Lord and be my Savior. I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, one other thing. For everybody in here, I want to pray over you, but I'm going to ask for a show of hands. You say, Lord, I want 2018 to be my best year. You can raise your hand. Say, God, I want this to be my best year. I promise that I'm going to seek after you with all of my heart this year. Let me pray over you, and then we're going to open the altars up. And if you need to spend some time with God, you want somebody to pray with you, we'll be glad to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, you saw the show of hands, Lord God. Bless them this year. Let them this be their greatest year ever. Father, let them be hungry. Let them be thirsty for you, Lord God. Let them run after you as the deer panteth for the water. Father, bless them now, Lord. Let that fire well up in their bones, Lord God, that they cannot keep quiet about you, that they'll be so hungry to read your word, so hungry to seek your face. And Father, I know that you'll be there waiting, that you'll bless them. When they draw near to you, you'll draw near to them. Bless them now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. God bless, and the altars are open.